phones. There's a problem with my connection. Make sure they're hung up. All the phones. Okay, so folks, you can hear static and someone breathing. That's me running around the house trying to figure out what the problem with my phone system is. But let's get to the show. Welcome to Renee's Book Talk. Let me shut down that music. Like I said, welcome to Renee's Book Talk. And I'm having nothing but problems tonight. Sorry about that. This is Thursday, July 2nd, 2009. It's 9 p.m., or at least 9:01 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your host, Yolanda Renee, coming to you live from the former colony of Pennsylvania, now just Pennsylvania in the United States, because tonight, folks, our guest is calling in from the U.K., England. Tonight's show is all about Miss S.C. Cox and her book, Forbidden Love. Call in with your question for Ms. Cox at 347-215-9536. And remember, if you have a question, hit the one key on your phone so I can see your number on my switchboard. Then click the talk, or use the click to talk function, which is also available. If you have any questions about the show, email me at yolandarenee@hotmail.com. I don't know if you've lived in a two-story house that has a phone in each room, but when you're having trouble with them and you got to check each one, it takes you forever to get there. I see that Essie is on the line. I'll let her know that I'll open her mic in just a minute, but I would like to do a decent introduction for her after that really horrible start to the show. S.E. Cox has been writing on and off for 10 years. She began her first novel at the age of 15 and has since gone on to write several short stories. She now lives in the small town in West Midlands of England with her two daughters, Libby Ann and Lacey May. In 2008, she took the challenge for the National Novel Writing Month and completed her 50,000-word novel, False Awakenings, in just 29 days. She tells me it'll be ready for publication in 2010. Forbidden Love, first part of her Rosella series, was recently released, and her second for the Rosella series, called Hybrid Theory, will be available later on in the year. To learn more about her writing, go to her MySpace site, which is www.myspace.com/S.E.Cox. She is also an editor for a new e-zine online magazine called House of Horror. To find out more information about this, go to www.myspacehouseofhorror or go to houseofhorror.org.uk. She says submissions are being accepted at horrorhouse.editor@yahoo.com. She's also working hard to raise money for the Birmingham Children's Hospital in the UK, through her work with the House of Horror Ezine and her books, because both of her daughters, Libby Ann and Lacey May, were born with heart defects. She says that at the present time, the hospitals do not have enough neonatal cots or intensive care beds, and there are so many children on long waiting lists. She has several upcoming titles: False Awakenings, Lunar Eclipse, Harlequin, Sorority of Blood, Witching Hour, and the real-life story of the author called Crazy Single Mom. Welcome to the show, S.E. I hope your phone call hasn't been too long of a wait.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can.
Great. Then we've solved one problem.
Yes. Luckily, I'm on my my mother's phone while she's on holiday in Rhodes.
Oh, she's on holiday and you've taken over the house, huh?
I have. We had a power cut at my house, so we had to come over here for the night.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about Forbidden Love, and then we'll get into all the other questions, because, my, I have quite a few.
Clear my throat. Well, basically, I started writing Forbidden Love about 10 years ago. It all started, I was actually dating somebody who was seriously into vampires, and the story started, when we split up, the story started out as a real-life story about me and him. And eventually it just, you know, progressed into those new characters, new storyline and things. And then I put it down. And funnily enough, when Twilight came out, all of a sudden that was suddenly my inspiration to think, right, okay, I'm going to pick it back up again. And I just worked and worked and worked and managed to finish it. And I had lots of help with the editing process as well, and lots of good feedback about it. So I thought, why not publish it? So that's basically how it started. Story-wise, it's loosely based on my life, obviously, with the vampire side not being real.
Oh, you're not really a vampire. That's
my,
so disappointing.
My ex-boyfriend claims he's a vampire, so he's one of these people that is really into the whole vampire scene. So that's basically where the main character in the book came from. It is based on him, even down to the clothes he was wearing the first time the two characters meet in the book.
Oh, that's awesome. I don't want to give any part of the book away, but we'll have to talk about that a little bit more in person. It's a really good story. I liked it, and I like the way you compared it to 21st century Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people were comparing Twilight to Romeo and Juliet, and when I read Twilight, I mean, I've read the whole series, you know, a couple of times. I've seen the movie about 150 times.
Uh-huh.
I actually had it downloaded onto my computer, and I watched it every single night just so I could go to sleep dreaming about vampires.
Well, that's a way to get your inspiration, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. But I think my storyline is more close to the Romeo and Juliet theme than Twilight is. So
yes, I would agree to that. Yes, definitely. But about your writing now, was it always vampires, or just because of the gentleman you dated, or before that? Because you've written quite a few short stories that are horror based, right?
To be honest with you, it wasn't vampires until I watched Twilight. I mean, I was never really into the whole vampire scene. I'd never read about them. I'd heard about them, but I was never really into reading about them or writing about them. And the original storyline for Rosella wasn't vampire. It was actually just a plain old romance. The original title for it was called The Perfect Love, and it was from when I started reading the Twilight books and seeing the film. Everything just sort of like clicked into place. So it became a vampire novel, and all of a sudden vampires are out there, and I thought, I'm going to get some of that action.
So originally there were no vampires in it at all. It was just
not
two
at
people.
All, no.
Oh, well,
I mean,
I think
it took quite a while to sort of introduce the vampire storyline into the original storyline. So, but I managed it.
You did a very good job.
Yeah.
I did. I liked your book very much. Now, you said tonight that you're willing to give away one of your books.
I am.
Will you please tell everyone how they can get that book?
Well, basically, as a lot of people know, House of Horror is doing the first anthology, and it's still open to submissions until the 10th of July. And basically, the stories have to have a haunted house or haunted something element in it. So we're also doing pre-orders for that at the moment. So I'm willing to give away one of my Rosella books to the first person who isn't in the anthology, who's the first person to pre-order a copy of Mycelium Memoirs. That's the name of the anthology. You can do that by sending a PayPal payment of £11.99, which is roughly worked out as $22, $21 or $22. And you can send that to horrorhouse.editor@yahoo.com. The first person to do that will get a copy of my Rosella book.
And that is called Mycelium Memoirs, right?
It is, yeah.
And who's putting...
I can't even pronounce it myself.
Is it mycelium?
It is, isn't it?
Well, that's how we say it over here. I don't know how you say it over there.
I have no idea. I'm just reading it the way it looks.
Yep, Mycelium Memoirs is what I've heard it said or pronounced.
There we go, then. You got it right, then. It's my book, and I can't even pronounce the title.
That's okay. I've gotten there before, too.
So tell
a little bit about the charity and why you are donating a portion of all this to the Birmingham Children's Hospital.
Well, as you said earlier, both my children were born with not so much heart defects, but heart problems. My first, Libby, she's now four. When she was born, she weighed 8 pounds 6, and within the first month, she dropped down to under 6 pounds, and nobody could understand why. She wasn't feeding, and she was throwing a lot of it back up, basically. So she was sent to the doctor, and they checked her over, and they said that she had a heart murmur. So basically, when we got that checked out, it turned out she had a hole in the heart, and that was causing her to be too tired to feed and obviously not gaining any weight. But then we put her on solids at 3 months, and, you know, she just gained the weight quickly. But over the next couple of years, she had to have constant checkups and things to make sure that the hole hadn't grown any bigger. And at the moment, we haven't been seen for a year, so it seems to be doing okay, and she starts school in September. And my second daughter, Lacey, she's now one. She has a condition called Marfan syndrome, and basically that is it's a thinning of the aorta valve, and it can cause aneurysms, little tears along it. And her dad, 2 years ago, had his heart valve replaced with a mechanical one. He basically collapsed with this condition and was rushed into hospital. So I was reading up about it, and I found out that a lot of children with heart problems are actually kept on a waiting list for, you know, 6 months to a year. And on the news just recently, there was a girl, a little girl, she was two, and she'd been on the waiting list since she was a baby for an actual heart transplant. And, you know, because all these children are on the waiting list, there's not enough, for one, neonatal beds for babies born with these conditions that need to be cared for, or intensive care beds for when these children do have their operations. So I thought, you know, well, I'm involved in that somehow. How can I make some money for them? I mean, it's not going to be a lot, but if I can do anything, I might as well give it a go through my work, through my books and the magazine.
Well, I think that's a wonderful cause. But your daughters are all right, right?
Yeah, they're fine. They're just, as I said, Libby, the eldest, she hasn't been seen for a year now. So whether we get another checkup, I don't know. Everything seems fine at the minute. And Lacey, she's having ongoing tests. She will have the ECGs, I think that's what they're called, to check her heart is, you know, running correctly. But she will have tests pretty much for the rest of her life, because the one thing that she has is an ongoing thing. She will have it for the rest of her life, and she could end up like her dad, having to have her aorta valve replaced.
Oh my!
Yeah, it is a shame, but she's here and she's doing well.
Well, I hope you a lot of success in your quest to do that. So, you're donating part of your royalties to this?
Yeah, as much as I possibly can. Obviously, excuse me, after overheads and so on, pay the illustrator, and the fees that Lulu charge are unbelievable. after all the overheads, then whatever's left, the majority of it will go to the charity. If you order off Lulu, you can order the print, which is £9.99, pounds, and the download is £2.50. If you order the ebook, then the whole of that amount, the £2.50, that goes straight to the charity. I don't take any of that. But for the print, £2 of every book goes into the charity.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's a great charity, too.
I'm hoping to do something for us anyway. So we'll gather the money up, and then hopefully I'll get one of those massive checks.
You mentioned you're going through Lulu now. You published your book there, Forbidden Love, through Lulu, right? And
yeah.
I've been posting in the chat room where they can go and order it directly. I think I also have a copy of it streaming on the page so that they can order it from Amazon, right?
It's not actually on Amazon at the moment.
Oh, okay.
We're having a bit of trouble with that. I'm not sure why. I'm looking into why it isn't on Amazon at the moment. So, I mean, it's been 8 weeks now, and they did say that it should be on by now, but I haven't heard anything yet.
Because I thought for sure I found it on Amazon and actually was able to post a review for it.
Oh, well, if you did, you'll have to tell me.
No,
I've had no confirmation of it.
I'm serious. I thought I had seen it on there, and I thought I had downloaded it for the site tonight, but I didn't double-check that before I opened the site, so I will after the show. But I do know that on Barnes & Noble I couldn't find it. And I was going to also put the review on Lulu for you, because there's a place there to do that.
Oh, yeah.
So I will do that. So you like Lulu? I mean, you've been using it for your email, your magazine, your mausoleum memoirs, and you did Forbidden Love there. So do you like Lulu? Would you recommend that?
To be honest with you, yes, I would. In the UK, it seems that the charges aren't as bad as in the USA. I mean, I don't know much about the charges in the USA, but I do know that a lot of people are grumbling about it.
I've heard some grumbles about royalties from there, but I don't know. I hear that all the time.
Mm. But yeah, as LB's here saying, you should try create space. I have actually tried that, but it looks so complicated. Where Lulu's very easy to, you know, upload your work and step by step. And I've been on Create Space, and it just seems that's had more involved and in depth, and you know, it's just something where you got to sit there and concentrate. And with Lulu, you can just bum bum bum, and it's done. So I prefer to use Lulu at the moment.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because I noticed on your MySpace page and your House of Horror page, those are excellent as far as, you know, background and how you set those up. And I figured anybody could do those could. Yeah, could do just about anything online.
It's a funny story, actually. When it comes to computers, I am really technically challenged. Yet, I managed to set House of Horror up within 3 days.
Wow.
I found a website. I checked it out. I had a quick fumble with the different tabs and things and how you connect, you know, the different things together.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked it up quite quickly, and then I was just raring to go, and I kept saying, oh, the first issue, it'll be out in a couple of weeks, and then I just had a massive response, so much so that the first issue was out within a week of me actually setting up the site. So it was really fun to do.
That's excellent, because I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm I used to think of myself as on top of things when it came to technology and computers, but I'm so far behind the times, it's ridiculous. So I'm very admirable of both your sites. I think they're very excellent.
Thank you. I did really enjoy setting the whole thing up. Issue two, I'm still learning as I'm going along. So issue two is the layout is only slightly different because I've had a few, bits of feedback saying you should do this and make this a bit clearer and so on. So I've taken all that on board from people that have visited the site and obviously people that have their own sites and their own zines that they're doing their own thing. And I've had a lot of good feedback, just a few things that I could, touch up on and stuff. So I've taken all that into consideration and issue two will be out probably tomorrow, to be honest with you. Again, I've had that much response from writers sending me their stuff in. I've pretty much got issue two and issue three filled.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, issue two is jam-packed. It really is. I've had artists, photographers, everybody.
That's amazing. And how do you find the time with two young girls? What do? Stay up all night and do it?
Pretty much. I'm quite resilient when it comes to, staying up late and getting up early. I mean, I can live on 4 hours sleep and I'm absolutely fine. The kids, they're fantastic. I couldn't ask for two better children. When I say go to bed, they go to bed. No running up and down the stairs, I mean, I watch, like, Super Nanny and, all those programs, and I think, oh, I must have angels. But they are fantastic. They go to bed and they go to sleep. So at 7 o'clock, when bedtime, I'm up straight on the computer, and that's it. Get myself something to eat, have a drink, and I'm straight on the computer doing. I make a list of everything that I've got to do for the evening. Give myself so much time for each task and get through it as best I can.
You definitely are motivated then.
I'm very organized.
That's good. That's the way to be if you want to accomplish anything. And LB Goddard said that she's going to call in and talk to you in a bit. She says
call in on her show because I wanted to talk to her, but obviously I was having the problems with the click-to-talk feature.
Yeah, that's still happening. I wonder when VTR is going to correct that one.
Hmm.
I want to talk a little bit about your House of Horror, the new e-zine that you're doing. I loved your explanation for it, how you've got the basement, the bedroom, the lounge, the studio, the attic, and the graveyard. Those are great.
I kind of do know where that came from. To be honest with you, I don't want to be slandered for copying here, Choke Road, that is a fantastic site. And I actually got my inspiration from there with the different, the 13 blocks on Choke Road or whatever it is. And a different place you can go to. So I thought, well, why not a house with different rooms for different kinds of things and just dedicate each room to a different sort of horror?
And I'll bet the bedroom gets the most attention.
Actually, no. I have been putting out submission calls for erotic horror for the last couple of weeks, and I have about three. I've actually gone and looked up a couple of my friends, writing friends, on the writing forums that I use. And one friend who I'm quite close with, he lives in Scotland, we talk all the time, and he actually posted a vampire erotic story. And this was going back last November, I think he posted it. And I got in touch with him. I said, do you want to submit it to the magazine? And he said yes, and so he gave it to me, and after that, I think I got two more off a couple of people. So I think I've got about three stories in this issue for the bedroom.
So there are some shy horror folks out there, but I think they'll come
surprised.
Through for you.
Very surprised.
I did. I thought that would be the busiest one. Well, maybe it'll be the most one hit if not having the most submissions. How's that?
Possibly. Yeah. I think because it's really me who determines what story is going to go where.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the minute it's probably the basement has got the most stories in there, because that's just for, your regular horror. It hasn't got, a certain element like vampires or werewolves or ghosts. It's just your regular bloody gore. So that's got the most stories in there. But we've had enough stories to go everywhere, and as I said, issue two is absolutely jam-packed this time. So, yeah, after issue one, we just had a massive response.
Well, that's great. I'm really happy for you. Congratulations.
So, I had to do my first rejections. That was really hard.
You did?
Yeah. I don't like rejecting. I mean, because I've been on that side of it for so long now. I mean, I think the only story I've ever had accepted was from LB at Monsters Next Door. I mean, I haven't had very much luck with my my stories. To be honest with you, I don't consider myself to be a great short story writer. I mean, I think I might have hit a little bit of success with my novel, but when it comes to writing short stories, I'm terrible.
I wouldn't say that. I've read the few that you sent me were excellent.
I don't know. I just feel that I have a very limited vocabulary. I mean, I read some stories and the words, I'm like, what does that mean? And I have to go and look it up. And when I'm writing a story, it's very plain and, you know, easy to read. And I think sometimes I try and use these, you know, big words, and they just stick out really bad because it's not my language. So, and I think that's my downfall sometimes. And I tend to do a lot of tell over show, where it should be obviously the other way around. And that's I get a lot of that back from editors that, you know, give me a little bit of hints and tips on why they didn't accept me. So I'm getting better. I'm learning.
Well, I think rejection is part of a writer's life, don't you?
Definitely. More for me.
Yeah.
But I hate rejecting people now that I'm being the editor.
Wow, yeah. So you got to get a thick skin on both sides, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. But, the nice, the couple of stories I have rejected, I've had an email back saying, you know, thank you very much, or there was one who came back and said, could you, you know, point me in the right direction. And I tried the best I could to point out you know, a few little things that I did like and the things that I didn't like that I mm-hmm. didn't think were quite right for the site. So
you've been writing for 10 years, did I get that right?
Yes, I'm 25 now. I started writing when I was 14 and a half, 15, so yeah.
So did you always plan on being an author, a writer of horror? Or?
Not at all. I actually planned on being a singer. I am a singer, in fact. I actually stopped last year. I used to work the pubs and clubs with my PA system. I used to do, like, cabaret shows and things. But when I first started writing, it was actually on a plane to America to see my family. Mm-hmm. And I just finished reading a book by Christopher Pike called The Immortal. And I've got to say, it's a fantastic book. I don't know if anybody's read it. But it was written in third person. And I think that's why a lot of my stories now are written in third person. First person. I keep getting mixed up with those. In first person. And it really inspired me, and I don't know why. So I started writing a story on the plane on the way to America, and then when I got back, I wanted to finish it. And that's where it all started, really.
Oh, well, that's excellent. So you kind of stumbled on it in a relaxed state of mind?
Yeah, and then actually I carried on through. I remember I wrote my first novel when I was 15. It was called The Best Friend. And it was a horror story based on a true story. It was about me and my five friends. And I actually finished it. I wrote the end in the middle of my English class. And I had about 10 of the students sat around me watching me write, which was really weird. And that was fun because everybody was, like, really, you know, interested in what I was writing. But when I actually moved away when I was 18. I went to work on a holiday park, where I picked up the singing and the cabaret. And when I came back, my mum had cleared out all of my stuff, basically, because then I moved into my own place. And I had this little red box that had the full typed-up manuscript that I'd sent out several times to publishers and got tons of rejections. But I had it in this little red box with the floppy disk with it on and the actual typed-up manuscript and the notebooks that I'd written the story in. And she'd gotten rid of it. So I lost the whole thing, and I've thought about trying to recreate it, but I think it's a lost cause, to be honest with you. But I haven't actually started writing again last year, because I haven't written since I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked it back up again last year when I got in touch with Daniel I. Russell. We go back 10 years.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I caught up with him, found out he was, you know, a really, really successful writer, I suppose. And he inspired me to pick my book back up, and I started it all over again.
Excellent.
And now I'm here. He was there when I got my first acceptance from Monsters Next Door.
Okay, there's apparently someone's trying to purchase your book and saying the link didn't work.
Oh,
it took me to Lulu, but a message came up and said it had been removed or moved, but I went to search and input name, author, and it came back up. So hopefully they're finding their way through the link problem.
Oh, dear. That can't be good.
that's the way things are going tonight. You know, my phone was off the hook, and I couldn't get a clear connection, and then was late in getting my show started. The switchboard's gone out on me twice, and links aren't working properly. Must be something in the air. It's not a full moon tonight, is it?
No, I came this close, so close to actually not being here today.
You're kidding.
Because of the power cut at my house. And also, the only phone I have at home is my cell phone. So I had to transfer money into my account to be able to top up my phone to call in, which was £30 for the hour.
Wow.
So I went into town today to draw the money out of the bank, and it wasn't there.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, it goes in tomorrow because it takes 3 to 5 working days from PayPal. So it's the fourth day today, so I thought, yeah, it should be there by now. But no, it's going to go in tomorrow. So, and with the power cut and everything, I thought, right, come on, kids, we're going to Nana's for the day.
Well,
so we packed up a bag and some food, and we travelled up here on the train and stayed overnight. I thought, right, Mom, I'm using your phone. I'll leave her the money.
Well, I'm so glad you were able to work that out. But
it's
just been one of those days all the way around for everyone, I think. Well, we've got a caller on the line. I'm going to open it up. Okay, go ahead, 636. You're on the air.
Hi, Essie. It's Albie.
Hi.
Now we have all the initials, huh?
Huh?
I said now we got all the initials in the house.
Yay. How are you?
I'm good. My husband kicked me off the internet, so I thought I'd call a little earlier than planned.
Oh, that's nasty. He's good to talk to you without emails.
Yeah. I actually have a question for you that I've been wondering about.
Oh.
Are you planning, when a new issue comes out, are you planning to archive the older issues so they can still be accessed and read?
Definitely. I have worked out how to do that now. I was having a little bit of difficulty with working out all the, you know, there's several tabs and you've got to obviously keep connected to the first issue. I mean, I'm sure you know all about that. And at first it was a little bit difficult. Remembering where I was, but I've worked out how to do it, and I'm definitely keeping the archives now. So yeah, I'm taking inspiration off everybody, inspiration off you. I like how you've put on your site, you've put the covers down one side so they're nice and clear, so everybody can see it. I'm thinking about doing something similar.
It's
not
good,
sure
yeah.
What's the name of your e-zine, Albie?
It's The Monsters Next Door.
The Monsters Next Door.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
And really.
Now, the one thing I've noticed, noticed on MySpace and on BTR is that the horror authors really stick together and support one another.
We do.
Yes, we do.
I mean,
and I'm trying to promote the Devil's Food at the moment as well on the House of Horror.
Yeah, Essie's been great. She swooped in and did a book review for me. I had a big computer crash. I was running out of time. The clock was ticking. And, boy, she read that book, and she sent me a great review for it. So.
That was the very first review I've ever done.
Well, I think everyone out there listening should send you some books for review because, you know, you did a great job on it.
Thank you. I read very, very quickly. So, I've definitely enjoyed all the books that I've read so far. I mean, since the magazine's been running, I've had 5 books sent to me, including some really good titles. I mean, the most recent one I'm reading at the moment is it Tales of the Shadar? I don't know how to pronounce it, Shadar, by Michael Hansen. That's been started out really good, so I'm reviewing that in a minute.
Okay, so other people who are listening know that in your House of Horror Evine magazine, online magazine, you actually write reviews of books. That's why people are sending you their books, right?
Yep, definitely. I mean, I love to do it. I love to read what other people are writing out there and give some reviews.
Well,
I mean, I'd be impressed.
Go ahead. Okay, we lost someone.
Hello? I'm still here.
Oh, she must have got a cut off or something. She's no longer showing up on the switchboard.
Oh. Oh, dear, she gone.
Okay, I put into the chat room the connections to reach S.E., Miss Cox, on her MySpace page, also how to order her book. And here she is. She's back again. I'll open it back up. Okay, you got hung up on there. I didn't do it honest.
I think it was my phone. If it's not Blog Talk or my phone or your phone, it's something, right?
I think we're all having trouble with computers. I think it's the weather. Speaking of the weather, it's like really, really hot over here at the minute. I'm completely
burnt that.
To a crisp.
Okay, go ahead, LB.
Oh, I was just going to say, we've had the hot weather, too. Oh, well, when the phone hung up on me, I was saying that I think Essie, she really takes in information very quick, and she's a very fast reader. That's the impression that I get, because
mm-hmm.
I tend to linger on, like, every word, and I don't know why I do it. It's just my hang-up, so I'm a little bit of a slow reader for an editor, actually.
Well, aren't you supposed to be if you're editing people's work?
Yeah, I guess that's my problem. I'm always analyzing everything to the point where I don't need to.
Yeah.
Especially if you're just doing a book review, you should just read the darn thing.
Mm-hmm.
I give myself a month or less to read one book. I mean, if I can finish it as quick as possible, move on to the next one as quick as possible. And then as I'm reading, I like to take notes of the things that I like and the things that I don't like. I mean, even if it's a book that I didn't particularly enjoy, I would still obviously pick out the good points of the book and use that for the review. I mean, I'm never going to slander a book that I didn't enjoy, not at all. But obviously I'm not going to enjoy every single book that's sent to me. I mean, the Shardar book, that's what, sci-fi? I'm seriously not really into sci-fi, but I am actually enjoying it, and I could be converted.
I found out the hard way that you need to read before you either book a guest or promise a review or anything like that, because I did that last year. I booked a guest before reading their book and then had the darndest time trying to get out of it because it was just a book that I could not find anything positive about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like you, I try really hard to do that. But so, yeah, it's very smart not to do that. So I learned the lesson the hard way. Well, we're already 40 minutes into the hour, and I want to remind everyone that you're listening to Renee's Book Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Yolanda Renee, and tonight we're talking with author S.E. Cox about her book, Forbidden Love, and you can check out her work on her MySpace page, myspace.com/S.E. Cox, and she's giving away a free copy of her book, Forbidden Love, to the first person who pre-orders Mausoleum Memoirs, and you can't be a contributor to the anthology. So, Essie, please elaborate again how they can get a copy of Mausoleum Memoirs.
I just love the way you say that because I know that I've been getting it wrong all this time. I'm going to remember that now. You can pre-order your copy up until the 15th of July, by sending a payment of £11.99 in pounds or $22 to PayPal address horrorhouse.editor@yahoo.com. the first person to do that, I will send out, as soon as possible, a copy of my Rosella book.
Okay, would you type that into the Room Horror House editor? I've got it here somewhere in my notes, but if you can do the typing, that would be great. I also wanted to take a real quick break to talk about the fact that SE is donating a portion of her royalties and book sales to the Birmingham Children's Hospital. And if you have a mind to make that kind of a donation, please do so. I know she would appreciate it, and her daughters will also. And then I also want to mention, just very quickly, because I don't want to take up her interview time too much, because she's calling in and paying for the call from the UK, just that if you have books that you want to donate to the soldiers, you can go to the website booksforsoldiers.com, or you can go to the website booksforboots.org, or if you have other preferences for donating your books, you can do that at the website of the shadowforestauthors.com. Three great sites for donating your books. Okay, we'll get back to the interview. LB, did you have another question for SE? I love talking with initials. Getting used to it now.
I'm sure it's just the same thing everybody else is wondering. You were listing off all of her projects she has going, and I just want to know how much coffee she has to ingest to get all that done.
That's a good question.
I don't drink coffee. I can't stand coffee. My tipple is a vodka, a double vodka, and Red Bull. That's what keeps me going.
Now you sound like a real American, because that's the big trend here.
I've been drinking that for such a long time now. I can drink gallons of it and still be fine.
So that's the secret.
It is. That's actually one of my rituals. It's something that I pretty much do most nights. Is once the kids have gone to bed, I make myself a nice meal, I sit down, eat it, pour myself a drink, sit down, put the laptop on my knees, and I'm away. That's my ritual, most nights anyway.
So you're a little bit of a bad influence if there's any younger listeners, because they're going to go rush out and try to, recreate your genius by drinking Red Bull and vodka.
That's just for editors. Just for editors. Don't drink when I'm writing. Actually, funnily enough, I have produced some funny stories when I have been under the influence. I've been told anyway.
Darren Poole in the chat room says that he's laughing. That's all he drinks, too, when he's out with his wife. And Darren is also from the UK, by the way.
Oh, hello, Darren.
He's going to be on the show very shortly also.
Oh, excellent. See, now you're getting all the people, all the writers from the UK now. They'll be coming over.
There's some excellent writers in the UK. I've been following you for a long time, and you've got some really talented people. Really?
The two people that I'm in contact with, UK writers, would have to be Gail Arrowwood and Charlotte Gledson. They're the only two UK writers
also,
I know. Oh, and Daniel I. Russell as well, of course.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Benjamin Busey? I never can figure out if it's Bussey or Busey, but I think it's Busey.
No.
He's from the UK. He's really good.
Hmm.
He actually had a story in For the Love of Monsters, which was the first anthology put out through the monstersnextdoor.com, and he's good friends with Charlotte Gledson, too. You should find him and friend request him, at least, because he's a really good writer.
If I haven't already. I mean, I've had so many requests via the House of Horror MySpace page. I've got like 300 friends or something on there, and like 100 friends on my MySpace page. So I probably already requested him or added him.
Yeah, he's probably in there.
Well, definitely look up Darren Poole. It's DarrenPoole. And I think he writes about werewolves, and I'm trying to come up with the name of your book, Darren. Type it into the room for me, please. My mind has gone blank.
It's crazy, because ever since I read Twilight, that's it, vampires, werewolves, I'm just gone crazy.
Well, it's a very popular genre right now, so take advantage of it. I mean, everybody should.
It's very hard, though, because obviously you've got to do something original and something different with it, and that's the problem that I'm facing at the moment. I mean, I had a fantastic review from Oh, the name leaves me now. Stephen somebody who does Word Weavers. Stephen J. Roberts or something along those lines anyway. He gave me a wonderful review, and I actually got a message from him today saying that he hasn't actually got his copy of my book back. He passed it on to his family, and the women in his family are really enjoying it. And they've all agreed that it is like Twilight in some places, but very different in the important places. So it's not, obviously not a carbon copy of Twilight, but it does have that element.
You don't want to recycle too much, as long as you're putting in your own, you know, unique twist.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And,
but I have to say, it has been an influence on my writing, definitely.
And Darren Poole says that his book is called Guardian of the Gate Bloodline.
Ooh, sounds interesting.
It is. He's also posted some of his writing from that book on his MySpace page, so definitely look him up and read it.
Definitely. Hmm.
So,
werewolves, I'm sold.
I know what you mean. I was in, this is probably not even anywhere near anything, but I was a real fan of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so I've been sold on that.
Yeah, a while ago. I mean, it's still running now, repeats and Angel and so on, but I never get a chance to watch it anymore. But funnily enough, I am always searching. I watch a lot of Zone Horror on Sky.
Mm-hmm.
And cable, excuse me, and I'm always searching for, you know, vampire films, and there's been a couple that I mean, they're usually low-budget films on that,
mm-hmm.
on that that one, that channel, but I found a couple of them. One of my favourites is The Hamiltons. That is a really good film. I like that. And one of my stories is, I wouldn't say based on it, but along the lines of what actually happens in the film. And that was a really good film.
Now, was that the Masters of Horror that had the family with the sister and brother? And
yes, that's the one,
there's someone in the basement or something?
Yeah.
I remember that. That was a good one.
That's, yeah. I've seen it about three times now. And the other one was Blood Rain. I think it's Blood Rain 1 and 2.
Yeah,
about
I've seen
a hybrid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Ethan in the chat room is really aging himself when he says, I grew up with Dark Shadows.
Dark Shadows.
And nobody knows what that is.
Actually, my friend in Scotland who writes about werewolves and vampires, it's a series, a book series.
And it was a television soap opera series.
Right.
Yeah,
that name rings a bell. He's definitely mentioned it, because he actually said that if I wanted to read, you know, a vampire series, that I should pick that up somewhere. I mean, lots of people have given me loads of different vampire series, because once I finished Twilight, I wanted to continue reading about vampires, and I picked up Alex Duval, Vampire Beaches,
mm-hmm.
and his books were really good as well.
So you don't mind reading other people's work on the same genre? Because a lot of writers say they don't read the same genre, or at all for that matter.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's got to the point now where I don't read anything else. I read horror, vampire, werewolf, and I don't read absolutely anything else. That's it, you know. I mean, I've got loads of vouchers for, like, W.H. Smith and things, and I save them all up so I can go and get myself a couple of, you know, decent new reads,
mm-hmm.
You know, every few months. So, and that's all I've told people to get me for Christmas now, just book vouchers.
That's a good idea. I mean, those are great Christmas presents.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best time to sell your book, by the way, is at Christmas.
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
definitely.
Do you belong to a writing or critiquing group, or do you do it all online?
I belong to... I do it online, yeah. Nothing by me where I can actually go and sit with other people. The two I use online is Zoetrope. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Zoetrope, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also Critters Bar. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Critters Bar.
No, I haven't heard of that one.
You've got to check that out. It's a really decent place. They run challenges. We do 200-word flash challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And then the winner of that has to post a prompt for the following week. And everybody has to write a 200-word flash about that prompt. That's really fun to do. We brought out an anthology last year called the Critters Bar Anthology 2008. Actually, no, sorry, it was 2009 because we brought it out in December for this year. And so we put that together. We're also talking about doing another one this year. It was very quickly done. The editor of a magazine called Skive or Skive, he actually put it together in a week. Sorry, no, 3 days, that was it. He put it together in over a weekend. Everybody sent their stories in. He put it together and then put it out on Lulu and Amazon, and everybody got their copies. And that was fun to do. So I'm always on Critters Bar.
Have you heard of Edit Red?
I've heard of it, but I haven't stumbled upon it yet.
They've got quite a few UK writers on there too.
Yeah, I think John Jam Arthur Miller mentioned something about it.
Mm-hmm. I used to do that one all the time, but I've kind of stepped away from those, and now I attend two different writing critiquing groups in town. It actually gets me out of the house, which is nice.
I'd love to do that, but obviously being a single mum.
Yeah, it makes it very difficult.
Yeah, much time to get out. I do everything online.
I was wondering, we're getting down to the last 10 minutes. Can you believe it went that fast?
Well, flip neck.
So do you have any secrets or suggestions for successful marketing? How's it going for you?
It's quite slow, actually. I mean, I had the vision in mind that I'd write a book, get it out there, and boom, everybody would start buying it. But it's all about promotion, really. I mean, you've got to work your damn hardest to get it out there. I'm lucky a couple of, you know, friends have bought it and told me they like it, but you can never really truly get a proper review from a friend because they're not going to say that they hate it, really. So it has been sort of, look, funny enough, since my interview in The Monsters Next Door with LB, I've sold 5 more copies this week. So I don't know whether it was because of the interview or they suddenly just picked up, I don't know. But I sold 5 more copies this week, so that was good.
Oh, I'm sure it had a lot
amazing.
To do with the interview. Yeah, don't you think so, LB? It had a lot to do with your interview.
I think it has a lot to do with SE because nobody buys anything I tell them to buy.
Don't say that. Everyone's counting on you.
But I also had an interview with Blackhound Publishing, the one that Charlotte's Gledson runs. She did an interview with me as well, and that went up on the website the other day. And then the following day I had another book sell. So I've done good since my 2 interviews.
I think you're doing very well. I mean, you just kind of hit the scene and you're running all the way, aren't you?
I haven't stopped, to be honest with you. I mean, a lot of people have said, you know, do you ever stop? I mean, I've come straight into it. I've made all these fantastic friends and just, you know, knuckled down, just got straight into it and doing this, that, and the other. I mean, the anthology we're bringing out, I'm loving every minute of it, reading all these fantastic stories and getting the chance to put it together for, you know, for everybody. And I just can't wait to get straight into the next one. I'm saying, is it too soon to do another one when the first one isn't already out? So, but now, after probably issue 4, 5, maybe 6, I'm thinking of doing another one. So we're just thinking about it at the minute.
Would that be a best of what has appeared on the site, or are you thinking of doing another themed one like the Mausoleum Memoirs?
I'm not sure. Somebody told me something about doing haunted graveyards, and I thought, well, fair enough, it's House of Horror, but it doesn't always have to be haunted stuff. I may do a best of. I'm not sure. So I want to see some new writers, to be honest with you. I've had a couple come since going on... I have had a few names that obviously I've never seen before, I don't recognise, but you know, with the first issue and part of the second issue, it's been a lot of people obviously that I speak to and see on MySpace, and you know, people that are already established, but it would be nice to see some new writers and get them into something, being a new writer, relatively new writer myself.
Before the hour closes and we're down to our last 5 minutes here, talk about Hybrid Theory. When do you think you'll have that one out?
It's nearly finished. It's nowhere near been edited. The storyline's there. The story's been written. I'm just starting to polish it up With everything that's been going on, it's been put down for the last 6 months, and I've had people messaging me saying, you know, because I've been posting snippets on one of the websites that I'm on, been posting snippets, and people have been messaging me saying, you know, when are you going to get back to this? You know, we want to see it running again. And because of everything I've been doing, I haven't had time to get to it, but I'm hoping that once issue 2 goes out, then I can relax. And I don't want to write any more short stories, and I want to continue.
Okay, I think I just lost Essie.
Oh, no.
Yeah, her phone just went off the air, so
well,
I don't know what.
She'll call back.
Yeah, she probably will, but we're down to our last 5 minutes. So, LB, thank you for calling in. Do you have anything you want to say before we go into the closing of the show?
Well, I just called to support Essie, and House of Horror is a great easing. If you are, like Essie said, she wants to see some new writers. So don't be nervous, you know. Send it in, and she's a sweet girl. Even if she doesn't want it, I'm sure she'll give you the sweetest rejection you've ever had.
I'm sure she will. I really do believe that, and you're right. She's sweet, and she's very talented.
Well, it's such a shame to lose her with 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
And at what time is it? I think it's 2 a.m. for her, or getting close to 3 a.m.?
Yeah, it's very, very early in the morning over there. And I tried to get her to schedule it at a different time, but she didn't want to interfere with my regular schedule, which I could have played it again, but whatever. she likes to be up late, I think, and because I've caught her on here on other shows doing the same thing, so...
I thought her boyfriend was the vampire, but it's looking like she might be the vampire.
Oh, he might have turned her. You never know.
Yeah, she's hiding it. She's probably wearing a scarf to hide it, you know, the little bite marks.
Darren says it's almost 3 a.m. over there. A.J. Brown says, hey, LB, it's good to hear you.
Hi, A.J. How are you doing? A.J. will be in the next issue of The Monsters Next Door, actually. I haven't had a chance to read a story because my co-editor accepted it, but I will be reading it soon.
Okay, Essie, are you back?
I am. The battery ran out on my cordless phone. I had to race downstairs to get the other one.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Well, we're down to the last 2 minutes, so say what you want to say to everyone in the chat room and to everyone on the air.
Go buy a copy of both books. Go get a copy of Rosella. And if you want to read some fantastic, I've got to say, haunted house stories, definitely go pre-order yourself a copy of, how do you pronounce it?
Mausoleum Memoir.
Mausoleum Memoirs. I will get it right one of these days. Definitely go pre-order yourself a copy. And keep sending in your submissions to the House of Horror. I mean, there is no submission closed. We're open all year round. I'll be reading a lot. So, yeah, we want it absolutely jam-packed.
You have a personality complex.
Sorry?
You keep saying we're open, and you know it's all you, girl.
It's me and the voices in my head. No, I do actually have some input from a writer friend of mine. He helps me, the guy in Scotland, he helps me read a lot of the submissions as well. So,
well, tell everyone where they can order a copy of Mausoleum Memoir.
You can order a copy of, I'm not going to say it, oh dear, you can order a copy by paying £11.99 to PayPal address horrorhouse.editor@yahoo.com, and that is roughly $22. And for that also, I must mention before we go, for that you'll receive free shipping and a 6x9 laminated card with all the author's signatures on it. And you can only receive that if you pre-order.
Excellent.
That's fun.
So it's horrorhouse.editor@yahoo.com.
It is. That's the PayPal address, yep.
Okay, we're down to the last minute of the show. I want to say thank you to Essie very much for calling in from the UK. It was a lot of fun. LB, thank you for being here also and for taking up the slack when we lost Essie.
Thank you for that.
So everyone, have a good night. Thank you, everyone in the chat room, for showing up. We've had A.J. Brown, Darren Poole, Ethan, guest 5080, guest 5093, and several other guests who came in and out. And we also had L.B. Goddard and S.E. Cox, who was our guest tonight. So thank you, all of you, for being here. It's been very interesting that I had to race around my house when the show started to find the disconnected phone, and L.B.'s phone disconnected on her. And she had to do the same at the last 5 minutes. So talk about coincidence.
Oh, dear. It's just one of those days.
It has
one
been.
One of those nights in the evening.
Remember, folks, look up her book, Forbidden Love, and look her up on MySpace at myspace.com/SECox. And join me next week. That's July 9th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard, and we'll have Matt Arnold, who is the author of Shattered Silence, and his is a nonfiction work, or excuse me, it is fiction. It's literary fiction, and it's a great book also. He's a self-published author. This is his third self-published book, and he wants to talk about his version of what success means. I think you'll find the interview very interesting. Remember, these shows are archived, so if you came late, you can still hear the show in its entirety. Just log on to my profile via Blog Talk Radio or go to my website, YolandaRenee.com. This is Renee's Book Talk. I'm your host, Yolanda Renee, coming to a close. See you soon, folks. Everyone, have a great evening. S.E., thank you so much for being here.
It was a pleasure. I really enjoyed myself, and I don't want to go.
I know. I don't want to hang up on you.
Can I just make one say one last thing?
Yes,
I also have an interview on the 11th of July on the Spotlight Dark Fiction with Ben Eads. So I will be there on the 11th of July.
Okay, well, keep us informed on your MySpace page, and we'll all show up for it.
Excellent. It's going to be 5 o'clock in the morning for me.
For you? Oh, my goodness. That's even later than tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yep, sleep. Wake up, then go back to sleep again afterwards.
Oh, you're amazing. And, LB, thank you so much again.
Thank
brilliant
you.
To chat to you, LB.
I'm sorry, what?
I said it was brilliant to chat to you.
Oh, good talk to you, too. I'll talk to you later.
Hey, congratulations and good luck with Mausoleum Memoir. We'll talk again, okay?
Excellent. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night.